So today's episode 4 of my God Isn't Finished With You Yet series. We've had Abigail, who was trapped, John Mark, who failed, the woman of Samaria, who was spoiled. But God hadn't finished, and he carried on, and he worked through them, and great things happened. So today we're going to hear about two people. We're going to hear Simeon and Anna. I've asked two people, so we're going to hear two different voices. I'll tell you afterwards what the theme is. George and Margaret, would you like to come and do the reading? Thank you.
The reading this morning is taken in two parts. It's from Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 32, and then 36 to 38. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel."
There was also a prophetess, Anna. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she'd lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel.
So as I said, we've looked at failure and being trapped and being spoilt. Today, God's not finished with us as we're aging. Obviously, that's not something I know a huge amount about, personally. Although I have to say, according to Gabby Logan, I listened to Gabby Logan's podcast, according to Gabby Logan, middle age starts at 38. Sorry if that's a shock for anybody. But there you go. So I do know that there are some difficulties and challenges to do with ageing. That's not the focus of today, but I wanted just to recognise some of them at the beginning. I'm pretty sure there's a fear of the future at times. What's going to happen? What's going to happen to me? What happens when? What happens if this happens? I'm sure there's a lot of frustration at changes. It's easy to focus on physical changes in our bodies as we age, the challenges that come as our bodies age. It's certainly a big conversation topic, isn't it? I'm sure there's frustration. Things our bodies stop being able to do quite as well, shall we say. I'm sure there's the challenge of pride, about not wanting to admit that things are changing. Even yesterday at my parents' party, I was playing with my brother, playing some music, and I was thinking, do I wear my glasses? Never worn them in that kind of situation. Do I need my glasses? Do I not? No, I'm not wearing my glasses. Not in that situation. I probably should have done, to be fair, but I didn't. But there's a pride, isn't there, of not wanting to admit to things change. I'm sure there's grief as well. Lots of grief as loss of family members, perhaps a loss of independence, perhaps a change of importance in society's eyes. That's not a full list. I'm sure there's other things. But I think it's enough to show some of the challenges, some of the things we can face, some of the things we can worry about, some of the things that can fill our minds. But like I said, that's not the focus for today. The focus is Simeon and Anna that we heard about. And just to say, Simeon and Anna are not married. I know George and Margaret are married and they've shared it between them. But Simeon and Anna were not married, as far as we know, not related in any way at all. Well, the focus today is about them, Simeon and Anna, the New Testament, and their crucial part in God's plan for the world. Their part in an important encounter with Jesus just after he was born. Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to take part in the Jewish purification rites. That's something that all Jewish families did when their babies got to a certain age. Hopefully, some of what we see in Simeon and Anna as we look at these passages together will help us, will encourage us, will challenge us, whatever age we are, will help us to tackle the fears and frustrations perhaps connected to getting older. Maybe help us prepare for them, help us adjust our minds, help us to see God in them. I try to be really careful with how I pick my words this morning, but we are all aging. We are all getting older. Some of us perhaps are further along the journey than others, but we are all aging. So I hope there's something in it for everybody, however old you admit to being this morning. So what can we learn from Simeon and Anna? Well, the first thing I think is that age can bring a deep relationship with God. Tried and tested over many years, many situations, it can create deep experiences, deep knowledge of God and his part in our lives. We look at Simeon, it doesn't tell us how old he was or how long he'd been waiting to meet Jesus. But his words in verse 29, "You now dismiss your servant in peace," suggests that he was old, that he was nearing the end of his life. He's described as righteous and devout, that he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Accessible Bible describes him as good and godly, waiting for God's promise to Israel to come true. We hear in this passage how tuned in Simeon was to God. Verse 25 tells us that the Holy Spirit was upon him. And that's before Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given far and wide to lots of people. So it tells us the Holy Spirit was upon him. Verse 26 says that it was revealed by the Holy Spirit that he would see the Messiah. Verse 27 tells us that he was moved by the Holy Spirit to go to the temple on that day at that time. It takes time to learn, to recognize and trust God's leading. To recognize his voice, to have confidence to follow it. Anna's described as a prophet, so her main role is to speak for God, to proclaim his truth. She's either 84 or has been a widow for 84 years. Either way, that's a long life, isn't it? She lived at the temple night and day, worshipping, fasting and praying. For both of them, it suggests being in tune with God that comes from experience, from deep roots, from a knowledge and a trust gained over time. When I was reading that, it took me back about, I think it's probably about 15 years. We had a special mission weekend here. Some of you were here for that. And on the Saturday morning, we had some sort of discussion coffee groups in people's houses. And people signed up to go. People signed up to host them. People signed up to go. The focus was about talking about when we'd experienced God's presence and how that had shaped us and helped us. I was in a group where, shall we say, I was the youngest. I think other people in that group were all of an age and I was of a different generation. But you know, what a privilege. I can still picture now sitting in the room and the privilege of hearing from women who had faced many ups and downs and big downs in their lives. But hearing how they'd encountered God in those times, how what they knew of God in those times had helped them trust him and carry on and find joy. I heard how the faith of each other, their friendship, had supported them and their knowledge of God for each other and how they'd prayed together. There was a recognition that life had been tough at times, but God had been in it with them, and they'd come through stronger and more passionate about loving and serving him. I don't think I spoke that morning. Now, anybody who's been in a house group with me knows that's very unusual, because I've usually got something I can say and contribute. I remember sitting there and listening and absorbing and drinking in a deep faith, deep experiences of people's faith, and just being stirred and inspired. And it filled me with the desire, I suppose, to do the same, to deepen my, to see what's possible, to see the impact it has. So I think that's the first thing we can learn and be encouraged by, whatever our age, that age can bring a deeper knowledge and trust and experience of God. The second thing is, I think there's always more of God to experience. Anna's life was spent worshipping, praying, fasting at the temple. It doesn't make it sound like a chore. This was her choice. I wonder how it stayed fresh day after day. Perhaps because she was worshipping and adoring and focusing on the living God that she knew. She was praying to Almighty God who'd made the world. She was encountering God who loved her day by day. And yet, even though that was her life, totally focused on worshipping and praying and being in God's presence, and yet there was more for her to experience. She was going to meet God's Messiah. The promise that the Jews had been waiting for a long time, and she had been chosen to meet him. Sometimes I think we're glad to get to the end of things, aren't we? A TV series that feels like it's dragging on, but you want to kind of see how it comes together. Maybe a walk that turns out to be further than you think, Ernie. Maybe a project in a house or a school term. 4 weeks left, have we? 4 weeks. But then there's other things that we just don't want to end. Some people have an endless capacity for watching sport. I'm not mentioning any names. I'm sure you know who we mean. But then my family would say some people have an endless capacity for gathering wool. You can never have too much, can you? Maybe it's reading books. Maybe it's, I don't know, being in the garden. I'm not sure what. There's all sorts of things that we don't want to ever end. Or think about visiting your favourite places. Shirley, my mother-in-law, adores Hollingworth Lake. We said this before, and every time she comes to us, she's been there first before she comes to us. Shows her priorities, doesn't it? There first. But you know, she has the same spot. She sits in the car in the same spot, and she looks at the same view. But she is never tired of sitting there, watching and looking at it. Last week, we went to Dogfest, and I have to say, we saw hundreds of dogs. But as we were leaving, Emma was as excited by the 3,000th dog that we'd seen as she had been by the first ones. There was never too many. Some things, there's always just more. And the more is fantastic. And that's the same with God. How amazing to think that we never, ever get to the end of him. There's always more to experience of how he loves us. There's always more to know about how he forgives and restores us. There's always deeper ways to know and experience his presence, to serve him. There's more insight into his character, who he is and what he's done. We never come to an end. It's not like a puzzle that we're going to complete. There's always more. It tells us that Anna worshipped day and night, fasting and praying. So she was always focused on God. It may feel for some that there's sometimes that you actually live at church. It may feel like that. But it's not practical, is it? We've got families to look after. We've got houses. We've got jobs. We've got neighbours. We've got responsibilities. but perhaps it describes an attitude of mind and heart to be focusing on God wherever we are, to have him at the front of our minds, whatever's happening, to keep his words as the thing that's first in our minds, to recognise and be grateful for him and his presence with us wherever we are, putting God and his ways first in the way we live and speak. We never, never come to the end of God. However long we've known him, however much of our lives we've given him, we never come to the end. And that's a good thing. It's not a toil or a chore or a something we're trying to just exist through. It just means we keep going and there's more and there's new and there's better than even we've experienced now. So as we age, we can know there's always more of God to encounter. The third thing is, I think that it shows that age is no barrier to being part of God's plan. We don't know anything about Simeon and Anna's physical state. Were they healthy? Could they still do all the things they used to be able to do? Could they move freely? We have no idea. The important thing with them that the Bible records was their relationship with God and their willingness to follow where he led them. Simeon and Anna recognized Jesus as the Messiah, and they spoke God's truth about him to Mary and Joseph. Simeon said, where are we? See, I've not got my glasses. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." He recognized Jesus, and he told Mary and Joseph more about who Jesus was and what was going to happen. And Anna spoke to people around. Verse 38 tells us that coming up to them at that very moment, she, Anna, gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Meeting Jesus was a treat for them. They'd been chosen because they listened to God and they would recognize him. What an amazing experience for them. But it wasn't just for them. It wasn't a little encounter that they had and then they went home and treasured and kept inside. It was part of God's plan to reveal a bit more about who Jesus was to the people around. "Look, I'm fulfilling my prophecies," God was saying. God was speaking through them to other people. Other people heard the truth because of Simeon and Anna. Mildred said it's okay to say this, but over the years we've been to a few New Wine Ladies' Day. We went to one a few years ago, and part of the day there's worship and teaching, and there's always a chance to be prayed with. And on this occasion, sometimes they pick up different things depending on the talk and what's been going on, what they feel God says to them. On this day, they asked everybody over 70 to stand up. Then they prayed a blessing on them. They thanked them, thanked God for their steadfastness, and they prayed for new things for all these glorious women over 70 to do in God's name. They prayed for new things because God hadn't finished. It wasn't the end. And I know that Mildred came home and carried on talking to God about what she felt he'd said. She came to church the next morning and she said, "Do you know, God wants me to start a prayer meeting for Tear Fund, a charity we have lots of links with." So she did. She listened to God. He'd not finished with her. She started a prayer meeting. And that led to lots of prayer for Tear Fund and their work. It led to lots of donations that still carry on now. People donated to Tear Fund and their work. It came to a greater awareness. It brought a greater awareness of Tear Fund's work through people in the church. It was a new thing that Mildred hadn't done before, but God had said to her, "I've got a new thing and you're my person to do it." And she did. And she was blessed and others were blessed because of her obedience. What we do for God might change. The ways we share him, the ways we serve, the things we have to offer might change. But there are always things, always ways for God to work in us and through us for his kingdom in this world. So Simeon and Anna show us that age has brought a deep faith and relationship. Shows us there's always more of God to encounter. And there's no age limit to the privilege of serving God. I hope that's encouraging to you, maybe challenging, however old you are. But there's one final thought, and it's this. Our attitude to older people is important. The Bible tells us that Simeon and Anna told the people around them who Jesus was. It doesn't say what those people thought. Did they believe them? Or did they think, oh, well, what do they know? They've just got mixed up this morning, never mind. It doesn't tell us how they responded. In the notes in the Life Application Bible, it says that in Jewish culture, elders were respected. Our society, however, often values youth. This is what the notes say. And as Christians, it says we should reverse those values. Not to unvalue youth, but to value older people as well. And these are the four things it suggests we should do as Christians, particularly to value people of a different age. It says we should encourage older people to share their wisdom and experience. It says we should listen carefully when they speak, perhaps even if they're telling us the same story for the umpteenth time. We should offer them friendship. You know that I feel that mixing with different ages in the church family is one of the biggest gifts I've given my children, to be able to mix with all those different ages. So we need to offer friendship. And then it says, and I particularly like this one, it says we should help them find ways to continue to serve God. I like that one. In the church. If you need help with that, then we're happy to help you find ways. It's important that people are valued and know they are valued as things change. Aging happens to all of us. We can't control that, but we can control how we face it and how we find God in it and how we treat those around us. At my parents' diamond wedding yesterday, we did what lots of people did. There was a TV screen in the room we were in, and we'd all contributed some photographs through the ages. We were looking at all these different ones. There was a little bit of, which grandchild was that? There were lots of pictures of them holding a baby that was, well, it was one of them anyway, but to which one, who knew? It's really interesting looking at how we've changed over the years. Some hairstyles, some dress styles, some sizes, some hair, amount of hair, do you know, things like that. But we can be confident with God that he's not changing. He's not aging. He's not becoming different. So we face our aging process knowing that God stays the same. The same God with the same amazing array of, I was going to say skill, but characters, characteristics, all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful. He's not changing. He's not diminishing. He's not becoming weaker. He's not able to do anything. So we face our aging. We face the challenges of the ages we are with a God who doesn't change. So this is the last episode in my God Hasn't Finished. There is one more in the book, but I didn't really fancy that one, so I'm not going to do that. So this is the last episode. There's always more with God. There's more to receive. There's more to experience. There's more ways to serve and worship and honour him. And if nothing else, we know that nobody and no situation is beyond his reach. Amen. We're going to sing, and then we're going to pray. So you might notice, anybody who was observant last week, you might have recognised this song because we sang it last week. We did it, New Wine. but we're going to include everybody. So if you, this morning would like to admit to being 70 or over, please stay stood up. It's up to you and your conscience, that's fine. If you are admitting to being under 70, please sit down. But don't worry, we're not leaving you out. Okay, so if you are sat down but you are near somebody stood up, then you might want to, as we pray, you might want to just reach out and give them an encouraging hand. Okay, we're going to pray. Let's pray. Psalm 92 says, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. You will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green." Isaiah 46 says, "Even to your old age and grey hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you." Acts chapter 2 says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your old men will dream dreams." Lord God, we thank you for your precious children. Your precious children standing now. Thank you that you love them, that you cherish them, that you delight in them. Thank you for the relationship you have with them. Lord, we pray that you will give them courage and joy and a closeness to you for every situation they face. We thank you, Lord, for what we can learn from them, from their faith, from their wisdom, from their experience. Lord, we pray that you will continue to bless them and bless others through them. And we pray for new opportunities for them to serve you, to share your love, to be part of your work in this world. Help them to be bold in your name, Lord. Help them to face tomorrow because you live and you live in them. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Psalm 95 says, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." Thank you, Lord God, for being one of your people. Thank you that we are part of the flock under your care. We pray, Lord, for our relationship with you to deepen and flourish and blossom. We pray for opportunities to serve you as we go about our lives. We pray that you will give us a value for older people, those in our lives, in our families, in our society. Help us to see them as you see them and to cherish them as you cherish them. Lord, give us the help and the patience we need. Perhaps as we deal with older people in our families, but also give us opportunities to learn and the grace to accept it. Help us, Lord, to grow deep roots now. Help us to value and cherish those around. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.